Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck here. I'm with Clay in Nashville in studio. Been speaking to you all across the country. Definitely want to take some calls later on this hour, later on this show, from veterans out there, people that want to share their perspective on what has continued to unfold in Kabul and in the rest of Afghanistan right now. 800-282-2882 on the lines. That's 800-282-2882. ClayandBuck.com is the website for updates, stories, posts, everything else we've got going on here. And we're joined now by our friend Pete Hegseth. He is a veteran of the United States Army, and he is also the host of, co-host of Fox and Friends Weekends, and a buddy of ours here for many years. Pete, great to have you.
Buck, Clay, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the basics, Pete. What the heck is going on with this administration?
That's the operative question, really, as you start to step back at a foreign policy crisis. Joe Biden is absolutely nowhere to be found. We had a similar situation with my unit in Iraq in some ways with a battalion commander that was not very engaged. And what it leads to is a lot of uncertainty, equivocation, finger pointing, and no decisive action. And that's precisely what we're seeing. Joe Biden can't muster anything other than a 20-minute speech from a teleprompter, take no questions, then 4 days off, two phone calls with world leaders in the last week based on what's going on in Kabul and in Afghanistan. And as a result, no wonder our Pentagon can't put a plan together. No wonder our State Department can't put a plan together. No wonder our spokesman looks like total fool. And then they look around and say, well, we didn't see this coming. There was no indication. Well, of course, then the intel agencies, Buck, you know all about this. They strike back and say, here's where the reports have been. We've been talking about how it would deteriorate rapidly. So it is an utter lack of leadership. I mean, my wife, who I'm driving on an RV trip right now, looked at me about an hour ago and said, what would you do if you could make the call right now? And I gave her, I think, a coherent answer in about 5 minutes that makes all the more sense than anything that's being done right now, which is try to rush a gate at Kabul International Airport and maybe you'll get through. Instead, you'll probably instead get beaten by the Taliban, which we're taking orders from. It's as bad as you can possibly get. And Biden is nowhere to be seen.
Pete, we know that domestically there are all sorts of issues. The border, inflation, the murder rate, COVID not having the retrenchment that Biden claimed it would. How much of the Afghanistan debacle ties in now with the overall domestic agenda? And how much of an issue does this become? I know we all have attention spans of goldfish, but it doesn't feel like Afghanistan is going away quickly. Will it connect with the domestic failures and become an albatross for Biden when it comes to his own agenda inside of this country?
I think it does, because it's such a demonstration of gross incompetence. You know, I'm not yet there. I'm not yet there at the point that I think this was intentionally bungled at any level so that certain other things would happen. I think this is just the Charlie Foxtrot. This is a cluster because of a lack of planning. They were put a date on the calendar. They told the military to do it. The military is going to do it by that date, and we give up assets like Bagram. So this is gross incompetence, which then makes people look at other aspects of what the administration is doing, some of which is gross incompetence, others of which is intentionally leaving the border wide open, or the back and forth on COVID and lack of clear information, the lack of choices for parents, critical race theory, which they're not doing anything about. They're promoting it because they're in bed with the unions. Crime is a direct result of Democratic policies in Democrat cities supported by the left wing of the Democrat Party. So I think it adds, for some of us who believe that a lot of what's being done domestically is being done intentionally because they have an ideological view of how the left benefits from it, right? Saying you shouldn't have voter ID, all of those things are there is some incompetence, but it's more intentional. This adds a layer of sheer incompetence on top of it, too, from the guy who's supposed to be the foreign policy sage, even though we all know he isn't. In fact,
yeah, Pete,
he's a walking disaster.
I'm mad at myself, Buck here, and I'm mad at myself for not understanding the depths of stupidity that this administration could go to. I knew it was going to be a mess, but I didn't think even they could mess it up this badly. And we're speaking for everybody joining us to Pete Hegseth here. He's a host on Fox and Friends on Fox News on the weekends and also a veteran of United States Army and had combat deployments. Pete, the Biden team at this point, what do you think the future of this national security team is? I mean, are they going to have to shake it up? Are they going to have to give some sense of, you know, heads rolling to the public? I mean, not literally, obviously. I know we're talking about the Taliban, but you know what I mean. Are they going to actually have some people who have to take given resignation letters? Or is the media just going to start covering for them? And within a couple of weeks, we move on to the next thing, probably the insurrection.
You're right. More woke training at the Pentagon, which Austin is all over. He can't get troops out of harm's way, but my goodness, he'll make sure there's no gender discrimination when you're wearing camouflage. He is all over that.
Can I drill into that for 1 second, Pete? Just because, you know, this comes up a lot. Conservatives and a lot of people I know who did serve and people that are serving and reach out to me quietly say that it's not an unfair, you know, it's not like a low blow to go after the top military brass on this stuff. Because it really is, the wokeness in the military is pervasive. It is a distraction and does undermine readiness. I mean, is that all fair to say?
Yes, it is. You have limited time, limited resources. That's one thing. The other thing is we've stopped believing in ourselves. We've stopped believing that America is a force for good. That the most powerful thing who we are most powerfully manifest is the picture of an infantryman with a rifle standing athwart evil and standing up for what's good in the world. And it doesn't mean nation building. I just mean as a force for good. And instead, you're starting to tell the troops, well, we're not actually that good. And, you know, that exceptionalism thing, no, and that white rage is a real problem. Look out for your buddy in the unit. It inhibits the ability for units to simply go out and do what they're supposed to do, which is train for situations just like this. And then commanders' hands are tied to actually be decisive. What I said to my wife was, you get the Taliban 24 hours. You say, you've got 24, in an hour, the Rangers are coming out these gates to widen the perimeter. After that, they better not meet resistance. If they do, your fighters are going to die. And then you have 24 hours to let every American citizen into the Kabul airport complex. And if not, the bombing commences on all your sites that are key and meaningful to you, and it will not stop. We're not going to commit more boots to the ground. You're just going to feel absolute and utter pain. Let the Taliban make the call. We're leaving no American citizens behind. Now, that's going to have its own pitfalls, but at least it's decisive. You don't see an Austin or a Milley making that kind of recommendation to Joe Biden because they're a shell of any military core that they used to have. They're politicians. It's feckless, and it's really dangerous.
Yeah, Pete, how much of this has to do with the left wing's acquiescence to Twitter? And let me explain and expound upon this, and you tell me if you think this is crazy. We heard from our UN representative that we had sent a strongly worded letter to the Taliban, letting them know, hey, if you misbehave, you're really going to hear it from us. That works for the Democratic Party on Twitter because we have all these woke American corporations which really don't understand the concept of evil or awfulness on any kind of level akin to what we see in Afghanistan right now. And as a result, the Democratic Party believes that words matter more than actions, and that is guiding the tenets of much of their decision making. Do you buy into that idea that this is the Twitter takeover, the social media takeover of the Democratic Party writ large now in foreign policy?
Beautifully said. Obviously, the most obvious manifestation is the fact that Taliban commanders maintain Twitter accounts and our former commander in chief can't have one.
Oh yeah,
and
of course.
They see that as okay, rationalization, justification. The other thing is Clay, just the left in general, how can you understand the threat of the Taliban or even the DOD, which has become a thoroughly secular organization, politically correct organization? How can you foresee the willpower or the cohesiveness or the legitimacy of Islamists of the Taliban who are religiously based, fanatically based, but also quite coherent in their worldview? You can't actually understand or account for that in a world that you've sanitized so much that the real threat is on Twitter and not from religious fanatics who are taking over entire countries and not letting American citizens up. You can't account. So instead, you have these whitewashed, sanitized views. And Buck, you'd know better than I as far as where the intel agencies are on this. But we miss the heart and soul of what our enemy really believes. And as a result, we don't actually calculate the veracity with which the will with which they will fight. And our woke corporations have lost, I mean, talk of faith.
Yeah, I mean,
they can't even account for, I mean, it's gone. It's all
Pete,
gone.
Pete, it's amazing to me. I mean, I'm not trying to bum you or anyone else out going into your weekend, but the woke commies have thoroughly infiltrated the intelligence community. I can tell you that. They're all over the place, and they're at the very highest levels we saw from the Russia collusion madness. But speaking of where the threat really comes from, I thought this was fascinating. There's a, you know, Associated Press piece. Nearly 20 years after September 11th attacks that spurred Afghanistan war, more Americans say they perceive the major national security threat as being internal. Roughly, this is an APNORC poll. Two-thirds say they are extremely or very concerned about extremist groups from within the U.S. This is what the media has done to us. I've said this before. The insurrectionists, including the selfie-taking grandmas of January 6th, more terrifying to American libs than the Taliban head choppers. That's where we are.
Can I classify the federal government as something I'm afraid of and join that group as far as internal threats? Of course. I mean, they made up entire straw men. So that they can focus on something, and all of it comes down to cracking down on political opponents to the point that you talked about, Buck, that if the commies are running our intel agencies and the wokesters own Twitter and the wokesters own the Pentagon, then they have to find a new enemy other than enemies who have morals other than ours, contrary to our beliefs in other countries, and that's going to be us and the values we hold as traditional patriotic Americans, and they're finding every new rationale to do it. I'm telling you, inside the FBI, what's being done as far as classification of domestic threats. I'm in touch with someone there who's talking about new classifications that allow for surveillance based on political and partisan affiliations. That's exactly where they're going, because those are the threats that matter most to their power.
Yeah, and you do a poll of
consolidated everywhere else.
Of leftists, you know, of MSNBC watchers, Trump voters versus the Taliban. I think people would be shocked to see how much more dangerous the left believes Trump voters are. But we'll get into that more with you, Pete, another time. Pete Hegseth, everybody, go check out Fox News this weekend as he's going to be hosting with our buddy Will Cain as well.
That's right.
On Fox and Friends weekend. Pete, come back and hang out with us soon. All right, man. We appreciate
it. Anytime. I love listening to you guys.
Thanks, Pete. You're the man. All right, we'll come back here in a second with, we're going to take some calls for sure. Glenn, I want to hear from all of you. Not quite open line Friday. We're Thursday, but you know, it's people on Thursday calling in Thursday. I don't have to come up with a cool line. 800-282-2882. And we are proud to have Relief Factor on board as a sponsor of this program. Hundreds of thousands of Americans have ordered Relief Factor, and about 70% of them go on to order more. That's a winning percentage when you think about people who contend with pain every day and who finally found a solution that works for them. Like Harold in Massachusetts, he wrote in, I was having awful back spasms when I went to bed, and then I heard about Relief Factor on the radio. It started working within 2 weeks. My pain is so much better. When I start using my back and overdoing it, I find myself running for my Relief Factor. We've seen Relief Factor work, Clay, within our own families.
Yeah, look, my wife works out as hard as pretty much anybody can, and it helps her to get over inflammation. It's 100% drug-free. Joint pain, knee, hip, back, shoulder pain, everything created by doctors, and it will help your body reduce pain and inflammation associated with aging, exercise, and everyday living. You can join hundreds of thousands of people who've ordered Relief Factor, and about 70% of them order more. Get more than 500,000 people with you and order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. ReliefFactor.com, 800-4-RELIEF, $19.95, 3-week quick start for you, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor, feel the difference. Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton. We are rolling through the Thursday edition of the program, trying to keep you updated with all of the chaos that is going on out there. This from the State Department that is out there right now. Buck Sexton, I want to let you react to this. State Department has issued a new alert in Kabul. U.S. citizens, U.S. LPRs, and their spouses and children should proceed to Hamid Karzai International Airport as soon as possible, but the United States government cannot ensure safe passage to the airport. They also, the State Department, have issued a new standardized document that they hope will help people on their list get through Taliban checkpoints that they may have to go through on the way. So basically, the State Department is saying, it's on you. Get right to the airport. We have nothing we can do for you.
This is the ocean liner has hit the iceberg, and the guys in the uniforms, the little caps, are coming out and saying, everybody remain calm, and then every man for himself. Like, it's all going to be okay, but you're totally on your own, and we can't do anything for you. This is not confidence inspiring at all, but I will say, so far, it is very interesting that, you know, that the Taliban could easily seize hundreds of Americans.
That's right.
And hold them as high. Easily.
Yes.
And they aren't doing that
so
yet.
So far. And also, there hasn't been direct violence that has been reported targeting Americans yet.
There's clear violence, reprisal killings, all kinds of horror. And that's already happening and going to happen a lot more against Afghans who worked with the U.S. And remember, it's not just the U.S. We keep NATO. It was a coalition of dozens of forces there. You know, there were Polish and British and Australians. I remember hanging out with all these guys in Afghanistan. So this is a moment where we have to wonder, what are the incentives in place for the Afghan side? We know we can't trust them. We know they're brutal and authoritarian. They're totalitarians and they hate America. But for some reason, Clay, they haven't decided to go there yet. And, you know, I'm sure there's a lot happening behind the scenes. There's a lot going on with negotiations that we're not hearing about. But there must be. Now, I don't know what it is. Remember, Obama sent actual pallets of cash the Iranians, you know, and also released a whole bunch of senior Taliban leaders to get Bo Bergdahl home. So who knows what this Biden administration is doing? But so far, we have not seen the absolute worst case scenario happen, and it's because the Taliban has chosen not to do it.
And there's a couple of things. Yes, so far is key there, because at any point, someone at a checkpoint could open fire and may be difficult to tell whether somebody's an American citizen or not in these crowds that are swarming the airport. But that is the latest from the State Department. When we come back, I want to hit you with some of this data about what this is doing to Biden's approval ratings and all of that, Buck. But first, what you got for us?
You're likely to be in the same position as most stock market investors. Look, you want to stay on top of things, but how do you find the time? Well, one way to stay on top of the market is to subscribe to Carnivore Trading, the company of legendary Wall Street traders, now sharing their trades with you in real time. They send you a text message. It's so easy, so straightforward. I'm using it all the time. Carnivore levels the playing field. I was introduced to Carnivore earlier this year. They consistently inform me of their moves and decisions and why with their text messages. For the first time, Carnivore Trading will let you try their service for free for 14 days. This is your chance to see and mirror Carnivore's explosive trades in real time. No obligation. Just go to getourtrades.com. Use the promo code USA. That's getourtrades.com, promo code USA. See website for guaranteed terms and conditions. Past performance, not a guarantee of future earnings. Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck here in Nashville with my man Clay. And we're going to take some calls coming up here in a bit from some of the veterans who've got strong thoughts on all of this. 800-282-2882. That's 800-282-2882. And we also are joined by, special treat today for all of you, our friend Raheem Kassam. He's the editor-in-chief of the National Pulse, co-host of the War Room podcast with Steve Bannon. And he's got an exclusive piece up at the National Post. Joe Biden's State Department halted a Trump-era crisis response plan aimed at avoiding Benghazi-style evacuations just months before the Taliban takeover. Raheem, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me, Bud.
What is this story all about, man? I read the headline, I read the piece, I said, wow.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. I've worked in the field of sort of counter-extremism, counter-terrorism. I have obviously written books about radical Islam and studied a lot of this for so long. And with all of the noise over the last week, Buck, about Afghanistan and everything that's been taking place, I couldn't understand how these people who told us that they were the adults coming back into the rooms, who told us that they were respected on the world stage, who told us that they had the plans and that it was Donald Trump that was the liability. I couldn't understand, you know, where things technically or policy-wise went wrong. And then somebody actually from, or probably shouldn't say where they're from, but somebody sent me an internal memo from within the State Department, and it all started to make sense. And what that memo effectively said was that in June of this year, the Biden State Department canceled a new bureau that Mike Pompeo and Donald Trump wanted to found. They actually created the idea for this back in October. The money was moved to create this bureau in January. And that bureau's job was to be the extraction and the exfiltration elements for crisis zones around the world, like Kabul, for instance. And it was within days, I'm told, from my sources in the State Department, days of Biden being inaugurated, that they started to dismantle this bureau, CCR, Crisis and Contingency Response. Now, the State Department has had this capability for some time, but it's tied up with all different other elements, specifically medical elements. And those elements were used at the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic to get Americans home. But what happened in this scenario is it appears that the Biden State Department, I don't know whether it was Antony Blinken himself or somebody else in there, I'm actually told that it was a lot of career bureaucrats in the State Department that wanted to nix this plan simply because it was a Trump-era plan. Well, what it appears to have done is led to a lack of capability on the United States part to actually get Americans out of Afghanistan in this scenario. And you know, I think, Buck, if I may, I think it's stunning. I think it's heinous. And I think it goes right to the heart of that question that I had right at the beginning of all of this, as these scenes began to unfold on our television screens over the last week, is how do you have a situation where there are still over 10,000 Americans in Afghanistan and they are unable to be evacuated? This answers that question.
Raheem, really good work. This is Clay. I appreciate you coming on with us and discussing the piece that you did. Now, bigger picture here, we hope that we're going to get those 10,000 plus American citizens out safely. Ultimately, though, what you are describing is a systemic failure of the Biden administration. Who ends up bearing the blame here when all is said and done for this calamity?
Well, I think we have to take the man at his word. He said the buck stops with him. He went on national television and said as much. And I think we have to take him at his word for that. Let me put it this way. A different president was impeached for far less than this. This goes to the heart of the safety of Americans around the world. And realistically, as you both will know, it goes to the heart of America's ability to project power on the global stage. Currently, I hate to break it to you, as if anybody didn't know this already, But America is being ridiculed on the world stage as a result of what's taken place in the last couple of weeks. The front page of the Sun newspaper, one of the largest distribution newspapers in the United Kingdom's headline was "Joke Biden." You know, we don't tend to do that about American presidents. We certainly don't tend to do that about our greatest ally in the world. But that is how far the situation has gone. Now, I happen to believe that without rooting out who in the State Department, specifically at a career level, not a political level, tried to get this program nixed, I don't think that there can be any true accountability. But at a political level, Joe Biden has said he wants to own this. And I think certainly Republicans on Capitol Hill should make him own this specific issue.
We're speaking to Raheem Kassam, editor-in-chief of the National Pulse. Go to thenationalpulse.com for their exclusive story about Biden State Department getting rid of a bureau that would have tried to avoid the calamity that we are seeing unfold right now in Afghanistan when it comes to evacuation of personnel. Also, Raheem is on the War Room podcast daily with Steve Bannon and Jason Miller. And Raheem, you know, you have a background in extremism analysis and counterterrorism. I come from the CTC CIA background.
People are asking a lot of questions about this this 2.0, I guess we could say, although in a sense, maybe it's even beyond that. Do you believe that there's going to be any real difference in the way this Taliban approaches its mandate, so to speak, as this terrorist regime? Do you think it's going to be a different Taliban this time around?
Well, no. And I also think, I mean, the question isn't risible, but the premise is risible, right? And this is the premise that we have been led to believe by the repeat appearances of deputy Pentagon press secretaries who can't, by the way, even put a number on how many Americans are still left in Afghanistan. But they're more than happy to wax lyrical upon the new ideology of this nouveau Taliban, right? This postmodern Taliban that is going to respect everybody's rights. And, you know, what did CNN say about them? That they were chanting death to America, but in a real friendly way. I mean,
yes,
naivety writ large, it's dangerous. That, you know, let me bring it back to the original story. Had the original deadline in May been stuck to, and had this CCR Bureau, this Crisis Contingency Response Bureau, been allowed to do the job that it was tasked to do, I happen to know who was involved with this and what kind of operations that they were planning to run. These are competent people who have been doing this for years upon years upon years, especially as what readers will learn is in the OpMed Bureau in the State Department, very quiet bureau, but very effective bureau. And had all of that happened as it was supposed to happen, as Donald Trump had planned for it to happen, you wouldn't have had this chaotic situation. And it comes back to what Biden said the other day. He said, I don't know any given situation where we could have left where there wouldn't have been chaos. Well, Mr. President, there was one right in front of you, and you and your State Department nixed it simply because it was a Trump-era plan.
Raheem, given what you have reported and what you have seen, should Republicans impeach Joe Biden?
Yes. I mean, there can be no two ways about it. It would be one thing if you were leaving a country and you were leaving it in, you know, in a terrible state, and the Taliban were taking over, and, you know, the MSNBC anchors could wring their hands about women's rights and so on and so forth. But this goes further than that even. This goes to the heart of how foreign policy works, who calls the shots, and if Americans are safe abroad. If Americans are not safe abroad, and if the Chinese Communist Party and Islamic terror groups around the world see that Americans are not safe abroad, well then, guys, what do you think is going to start happening? We're going to see people taken hostage. We're going to see American installations attacked. We're going to see more situations like this, because they now look at Joke Biden, as the Sun called him, as that joke, and they don't see his ability to do anything. And a story came out of the United Kingdom today that Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, one of America's most important allies in the war against terror, could not get Joe Biden on the phone for over a day and a half, could not get the President of the United States on the phone to discuss exfiltration strategies, extraction of their citizens. And so everybody just went off and did it themselves. I don't know about you guys, but I was told that those sorts of irresponsible things were the types of things that Donald Trump would do, and he never did. And now look at
it turns out they've made it worse. Leading from behind under Obama has turned into not leading at all from the basement under Biden. So this is what we're up against. Raheem Kassam, everybody, thenationalpulse.com for their exclusive reporting on this. Raheem, great to have you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, guys.
We'll come back in a minute. We got some veterans on the lines, Clay. We'll get to that. Plus, we've got Senator joining us.
Yeah, Senator Hagerty from Tennessee. And that was interesting from Raheem there, saying that he believes Joe Biden should be impeached. Obviously, there's complications when you don't control the House with how exactly that might take place. But what does Hagerty think inside of the Senate about this? We'll ask him that question specifically.
Yeah, I mean, if doing a really bad job is enough to get you impeached in a way that
the phone call is, you would think this might be.
Yeah, he said, you know, another president gets impeached. I mean, Trump got impeached twice for absurdities. But anyway, non-impeachable offenses and non-offenses, actually. Anyway, we'll come back into all this in a few moments. But let's spend a couple of minutes focusing on the long-term picture here for a second. I mean, I'm reminded of this every day as I'm preparing for this show. I see a volatile stock market this week. I know what's coming in the way of more government spending. You know it too. And like you, I'm feeling inflation every time I'm going to buy gas, food, appliances, much more. You're seeing it. So when's the next stock market bubble going to burst? If you're like me, you want to protect what you've built. How do we protect our money and our savings though? You turn to the Old Faithful, the standard by which all things are measured, and that's gold. You're now able to buy real gold and silver from the Oxford Gold Group. There's a unique feeling when you take your first actual delivery and get that gold in your hands. You can hold it. I've been there. I've done it a couple of times, actually. Nothing like it. Whether you take your physical possession of your gold or place it in your IRA, the Oxford Gold Group can help you. You can experience the same thing that I have at the same kind of way. Protect yourself from market bubbles that are sure to come in the process. Call the Oxford Gold Group right now. The number is 833-404-GOLD. Oxford Gold will send you a free guide on investing and answer all your questions. Protect your money before things get worse and call Oxford Gold Group today. 833-404-GOLD. That's the number to call. 833-404-GOLD.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton. How great was Raheem just there? Got the senator, one of the senators from Tennessee, Bill Hagerty, is going to join us at the top of the next hour. Want to let you know, special news for the EIB audience, a bonus episode of the podcast, Rush Limbaugh, the man behind the golden EIB microphone, just released. You can check it out over at clayandbuck.com. And if you've been following the podcast, which, man, it's really, really well done, this bonus episode is a summary of the past 12 and kind of gives you an overarching view of the series in an impressive way. So go over to clayandbuck.com, scroll down to the second image at the top of the website. It will take you there. Bonus episode created just for you, the loyal EIB audience. We would encourage you guys to check it out. And we can't thank you enough for all the support you are showing for this program and also for the man behind the golden EIB microphone, which has been a fantastic series. Encourage you to go subscribe to this podcast. Give us a 5-star review. Be witty, entertaining, make fun of us, just make us laugh, whatever you can do.
But fashion tips. We will take fashion tips. We need after this week.
We need them in a serious way.
No more shirts that are actually ponchos there, Travis.
Yeah, and also may be able to double as a tent. We're going to have Dub, who is on the production staff here, reading those reviews, and he's going to give us some of the best ones, and you may hear your review being shared with the masses. So encourage you to go give us 5-star and entertain Dub. We got a lot of people who have wanted to weigh in. We haven't taken any calls today so far. Let me go ahead and start taking some of those. Mark in Ohio, fourth generation veteran. Mark, we appreciate your service as well as your family's service. What do you want to share with us?
Well, thank you, gentlemen. Just real quick, my dad called me watching the fall of Afghanistan. He witnessed what happened in Vietnam. Obviously, he did 2 tours over there, and he said it just made him sick to see it all over again. I was in Iraq, and it made me sick to see that handed over to ISIS, and now we've had the trifecta of having the Taliban take over here in Afghanistan. And I just cannot believe that we are going to have much credibility with allies left in the world after this, never mind the humanitarian angle of just being a decent person and keeping your word to people. But just from a tactical point of view, down the road, the long-term implications of this are just going to be tragic. And hopefully they're something as bad as 9/11 doesn't come back to bite us again.
So Mark, just hey, it's Buck. I just wanted to ask you, Mark, obviously, that we all know the withdrawal from the Biden planning and tactics. It's just a complete debacle. It's horrific. And we just hope it doesn't get worse. But it sounds to me like you're saying, as somebody who is a veteran, comes from a long line of veterans, that you would have preferred a permanent presence of U.S. military based in Afghanistan at some level. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You took the time to go over there and take the ground. Make sure that that was not in vain. And you cannot do that by phoning it in. You have to have people there and involved. It didn't take a large number of people to get ISIS back under control when President Trump decided to actually drop the hammer on them. We have technology that will keep you up at night. We just need a few people there to make sure that we deliver it to our enemies in a timely manner.
Mark, thank you for your service, and thank you for sharing your perspective here on the Clay and Buck Show. Appreciate it. Josh in California, another veteran of Afghanistan, has got a specific story he wants to bring to our attention. Josh, welcome.
How's it going, sir?
We're good.
My name is Josh. I'm from California. Basically, I'm calling in because I'm a sponsor for an Afghan interpreter, and he's been trying to get to the airport for 3 days now with his family and his five-year-old kid. He hasn't been able to get there. The Taliban has the whole place surrounded, and they are kidnapping tons of people, he says. He says he's watching people right in front of him get kidnapped as people try to go through the Taliban.
Josh, sorry to cut you off, but would he be interested in talking to us on the radio and telling his story? Maybe we can have people who are listening give him some assistance. I know there's been a lot of senators out there that have been helping. If you could, we're about to finish off this hour, but based on what you're telling us right now, if you could share information and or give a phone number for him, I mean, we would be happy to help as best we could.
I can try to do that. I'm trying to get a hold of him this morning, and I'm really worried because every time I message him, he answers almost immediately, and he hasn't answered this morning, so I'm getting really worried. Hey,
yeah.
He's either on a plane or he's gotten kidnapped. That's pretty much, I'm almost positive, one of those two scenarios. Because he was right outside of the airport, like right outside, and he saw when those people got shot the other day, him and his whole family saw it. They all witnessed it. And he said that Christian mercenaries or Christians are also getting kidnapped. Not mercenaries, sorry. But Christian people that
missionaries.
Change people to Christianity are getting kidnapped like a lot right now.
Well, we appreciate your service and we appreciate the call, Josh. And by the way, to the extent that we can help in any way, we'll talk, like I said, with one of the senators from Tennessee, Bill Hagerty, who's going to join us next. And there have been a lot of people, Tom Cotton, for instance, and among others that have been doing everything they can to help people.
And if there's a way to get somebody through, you know, a Skype call from on the ground in Afghanistan, we'll do that too. So we'll get the team here working on it. We got the center coming up. Stay around.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.